It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Paint a picture of where you are today, Phil.
Ah, well, I've just come out of a little place in Galatos Street called Eat My Lunch, and it's a commercial business run by Lisa King, and they make really good lunches. Michael Meredith is their chef.
Oh, my God, best chef in Auckland.
Yeah, he's great. And congratulations, Michael. He's just had a little baby daughter.
Has he?
But for every lunch they make and they sell commercially, they provide a free lunch to a child in a low-income school somewhere around Auckland. So I've been down there with a merry group of volunteers and a number of other councillors, Richard Hills and Linda Cooper and Desley Simpson, and we've been helping the volunteers make, I think it's 2,200 lunches today that'll go out largely around the Auckland area, with some just further south of Auckland.
Oh, good work. What a positive thing to do on a Wednesday morning.
It's really good. I mean, you know, they're nutritious lunches, fresh bread. You've got coleslaw. You've got.
I didn't imagine you'd be sending them there with a coke and a bag of chips.
No. Yeah, apple and a few pretzels, and it's nutritious, and we. I know from the schools that I deal with around Auckland how much they really appreciate that these are kids that, you know, will come to school maybe with a bag of chips, but maybe with nothing, and they try to get through the day with nothing really to eat, and that's just a reflection of, you know, some of the deprivation that does exist around our city. So a group like Eat My Lunch, you know, good on them and all the volunteers that work there. You know, I go down and do a token effort once a year with them, but there are some volunteers that are there every week just giving their time. So these kids have a full tummy in the middle of the day, and they can focus on their schoolwork in the afternoon.
Hey, Phil, with the report on the situation on the housing on the New Zealand, what are your thoughts on that, being the man in charge of the biggest city in the country?
Yeah, look, I don't think it...
In regards to things like hungry kids and people living in cars and stuff like that, is it possible... I mean, are we being... excuse us. Sarah's just having a funk jam in the corner there. Is it feasible for us to imagine a time when there is no Aucklanders living in cars, and there are no kids that go to school without adequate nutritious food? Is that going to ever happen, or do we just have to keep chipping away at it and just try and do what's right and just hope it doesn't get any worse?
Well, both really. I mean, our aspiration has got to be that every child counts, that every child deserves a decent upbringing so that they can realise their full potential. And will there always be some families where there are huge difficulties? Will we totally be able to eliminate it? Maybe, maybe not. But what we have to do is say, you know, with the sheer level of people that are under financial stress because they're low income and the cost of accommodation is so high, you know, those of us that are a little more comfortably off, we've got to make sure we make an effort that other people's kids get the same chances as our kids, and I regard that as really important. You know, we need to be an inclusive city. We need to be a city where we know that, you know, for all of us to live well, you know, we've got to make an effort to help those that don't get the same start in life that maybe many of us did.
The congestion tax that's been bandied about, what's going on?
Yeah, well, when the Auckland Transport Alignment Project was set up, they said, okay, yeah, there's a whole lot of work we've got to do. We've got to provide better public transport, better walking and cycling, improve our roading network. But by the way, if you really want to get on top of if you really want to get on top of congestion, it's not only supplying alternative things to people just putting their cars on the road. We've got to encourage proper demand management. So big cities in the world like Stockholm,
that's a new term, isn't it? Demand management.
Demand management is measures that are designed less about revenue than to get people to reconsider their options for travelling into town. So at the moment,
I can't help but think, though, when I think of that, it's the same as parking tickets. And I mean, that's like saying, like, hey, if we charge people lots of money, they just won't, they won't park over time and stuff. Right? Well, it just doesn't happen. People just pay more money, it just destroys them, and just, you know, then et cetera, and many different sort of variations on that throughout the council. I mean, is asking people for more money or forcing people to pay more money and charging them if they drive down a bus lane, etc., all that sort of stuff, does that really make a difference?
Well, let me tell you what the problem is, and then we can start talking about how far we've got to go in finding a solution. Since between 2013 and the end of 2016, the number of kilometres travelled on roads in Auckland went up by 1.6 billion. Now, just think about that figure a moment. 1.6 billion extra kilometres.
That wasn't necessarily going fast either. That was going probably most of the time going really slow.
And what the projections are, you know, we're going to hit 2 million people in 2028. That's just 10 years away. That's one decade away. So we've got to look at all of the options. No decisions have been made on congestion charging. We worked with the previous government to set up the study. We're continuing to work with this government to continue the study. We will be involving stakeholders, everybody from, you know, Automobile Association to the business groups, the trade unions, the child poverty groups, every group that's got an interest in this, plus we'll be working with the public to work through the options, to look at what's happening overseas, to look at where it works, to look at whether it can work in a city like Auckland that's dispersed and less and lower density than, say, places like London, where clearly the congestion tax in a limited area of the town has been successful. It's been successful in Singapore, but then Singapore has fantastic public transport alternatives. So we don't know yet whether it would work properly, but we're obliged to look at the studies because the scale of the problem, you know, even with the $27 billion that we're spending on transport in Auckland in the next 10 years, the projections are still that congestion will get worse. And that's, you know, that's immensely frustrating. And so what's one of the answers, Mikey? One of the answers is 90% of the cars running down the motorway in peak hour have one person in them. So how can we incentivize people to have more than one person in it? And how can we make that happen? Carpooling, it's a very old idea, never really taken off that much. You now have apps that you might be able to use, so you know how to car share.
So you can afford a phone, yep.
If you've got T2, T3 lanes, and you know it takes 20 minutes off your trip to get into town, if you've got a full car, you'll probably actually make that effort to say, well, I wonder who else in my neighbourhood's going into the CBD today.
If I'm in a T2 lane and it's me and a baby in the back, does that count as T2?
It does, probably.
I got a ticket for that.
Did you?
Spewing.
Yeah. but the baby's a passenger.
Exactly. I have to write in and do all that palaver.
You're a bush lawyer. You should challenge that. As far as I look, I don't know how the law works precisely, but I would have thought T2 means two people in the car.
I just have to jump through hoops to get it done, but I'm going to because I don't want to pay.
How do you get yourself into these situations, Mikey? I don't know.
It's just me, you know. Hey, but Phil, is this on top of the petrol tax that's been bandied around as well? I mean, we're not going to get another third, fourth, and fifth tax in the next couple of months, are we?
The first thing
America's Cup tax.
The first thing you've got to consider is congestion tax is not months away, it's years away if it happens. And it'll only happen if there's enough public support for it and if we can find a way of doing it that really does make a difference. But let me reiterate this. The congestion tax isn't about raising revenue, it's about changing behaviour. The regional fuel tax is largely about raising revenue, though it may encourage a change of behaviour from, say, where it used to just go on rate. And you didn't change your behaviour because you paid it whether you used the roads or not. So the regional fuel tax will have some slight impact on changing behaviour. But, you know, what we have to do to change behaviour is that we've got to make sure that there are alternative accessible forms of public transport and for people to get around as well. And that's why we're working hard on the City Rail Link. We're working hard on trying to get light rail going. We're working hard on extending bus lanes. All of those things are important. You know, I came on your program last year and said, hey, the Waterview Tunnel is fantastic, and it had a real impact. But I got to say, early this year, I can already see the impact of that Waterview Tunnel, that extra motorway, starting to wear off, because when you add another 800 cars a week, pretty soon you've added enough cars that, are already approaching the level of the people that are using the alternative route of the Waterview Tunnel. So we've got to do something, and what we want to do is something that can be fair and something that can work. What we can't do is just sit back and say, let's let congestion get worse and worse. Let's spend hours more each day in our cars. Let's waste billions of dollars in lost productivity. This is a big question. We need to address it. And that means we've got to look at every angle. And before we, you know, it's nice, it'd be nice to say, we won't do this because it might not be popular. Actually, we've got a responsibility.
Hello, you're the council. Hello.
Yeah, that's right. Too late for that.
Hey, Phil, we're in beautiful, in this beautiful city of ours, we're encircled by three harbours, according to this. We've got 29,000 kilometres of coastline.
Yep.
There's a lot of poos in the water at the moment.
Yep.
That's we talked about this a lot. So the sewage and the stormwater drains and stuff. But according to the papers, we've had a third of the rain that we'd have all year. We've had that already.
Do we fast track it?
Let's get that really modern.
Do you remember a place called Auckland that in November and December and January was beautiful with lots of sunshine, and the beaches were?
I can't remember because of the humidity, man. I just want to go for a swim.
Yeah. What happens? You know, and I know, and all our listeners know. Every time it rains, when you've got stormwater going into wastewater, that overflows the wastewater. You get dilute sewage going into your harbour.
And I know you guys are working hard on changing that. You've got a plan for that. But does the weather, a situation like we've had in the last couple of weeks, does that sort of make you want to sort of think about maybe fast-tracking it?
We are fast-tracking it. That's the whole point.
Good. Okay, that's what we need to find out.
Yeah, what their plans were was that we'd address this problem over 30 years. I'm saying bugger that. We need to do this within a decade. Can I do it faster than a decade? Maybe not, because, you know, when you're building things like the Central Interceptor and it's 13 kilometres of underground tunnelling that's 4.5 metres wide, you've got to have your process and your construction and your consenting and all of that. If I cut by two-thirds the amount of time that it was going to take to clean up our beaches, I reckon I've done a reasonably good job. Am I ambitious to do even better?
I'd buy you a beer.
Will you guys help me by giving me a targeted rate so we can invest the money in it? That's the big question. If you, like me, want to clean up our beaches, make sure that you send us a submission saying, yep, we understand the need for a targeted rate on that, and as long as it's going for that purpose, yep, we'll pay our $1.27 household a week.
Where do we send that to?
You'll get the forms out through our Auckland at the end of this month, 28th of February. Consultation begins. We'll keep our general rates low at 2.5%. Compare that to Hamilton, that's talking about 16.5%. But hey, there are some targeted rates in that. One is for water quality. It will, for if you've got $1 million house, average price of a house, it's $1.27 a week. And that will raise me $400 million that will enable us to get the Central Interceptor built more quickly, to do all of the other work that we need to restore water quality to Auckland.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Good as gold, mate.
Have a great day. Speak to you this time next week.
Okay, cheers. Thanks.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.